I was about to. I was really excited. You take one step too. I was about to like.
Who's going to be here continuously? Everybody in the back? And then, okay, you all got it, you got it. So what this is I'm going to try to finish, get through these slides tonight, kind of do an overview of Philippians, a book, okay? And then Johnny's going to pick up next Sunday and then Wednesday, all right? Then I'm going to finish out the rest of April. We did get a book, okay? The book is kind of a tool for you guys, right? We're not going to sit and read question by question every single class, all right, because that gets, I think, just kind of gets a little boring. So, but we're going to tell you guys, hey, go ahead and work on lesson 1, work on lesson 2, get get your questions ready, okay? And the reason why we did that is so when we're going through the verses, the four chapters, you guys have already been working through the book, and you've got some wheels. Your wheels are spinning in your head, okay? So you should have some questions for us. So that's what that is, okay? For the ones that weren't here last week, I think last week went pretty good. I think everybody was pretty comfortable here. Anybody not comfortable? No, nervous, or everybody raised their hand, people commented. So if you have a comment, you got a question, ask your question, okay? If you don't know, she might not know. She might not know. He and may not know, okay? You ask a question, somebody in here probably has an answer, all right? If we don't, then we can write it down, and then you guys can find the answer in between classes. All right, we'll all look and look up the answer. All right, so tonight we're going to go ahead and finish going through the overview. Hopefully I packed too much stuff into this, so I may kind of speed through a couple things depending on the time. All right, so the author, Paul's authorship of Philippians has rarely been challenged. Okay, nearly all scholars accept this is a genuine letter of Paul. Here's the date and place when it was composed. Who can tell me where the letter was composed? Where Paul was when he wrote this letter.
In prison.
Yep, there's a hint on the board. If anybody didn't see it. So he was in prison, okay? For him to write this letter, okay, the way he wrote it and with his, you can look up there on the board, some of the themes, some of the repetitive words that he uses throughout the book, for him to be in prison, okay, and to write a letter that promotes encouragement, courage, okay, peace, unity among people. All right, there were some folks that in the Philippian church there that were quarreling among themselves. All right, he talks a lot about being rejoiceful and rejoicing, being thankful. Okay, their attitude. Living like Christ, all right? You got to remember, when he wrote this, he's in prison, okay? So he talked about being humble, all right? Service of meeting needs, of, you know, putting other people before yourselves, okay? Everything that he wrote about in that letter, the same thing. It's interesting because as you read through it, the same thing goes on today, all right? We can learn a lot. There's only four chapters in Philippians, but like I said last Sunday, there's so many lessons in there, okay, that we can apply to our everyday lives. All right, so the letter was written to the Christians in Macedonia, all right? Macedonia was conquered in 168-167 BC, all right? The victors, the folks that conquered it, okay? And many of their soldiers, once they conquered the city, what normally happened after the city or a village was conquered? What did those soldiers do a lot of the time that once they went in there and conquered it?
They stayed.
They stayed, right? They stayed, they settled, okay? And then they built up their own cities. All right, Philippi was given the high honor of law of Italy, all right? It wasn't actually in Italy. I've got a couple maps on the next two slides that show you where it's at. But it was basically a Roman city, okay? It was governed by Roman law. Its citizens were Roman citizens, okay? And it says its constitution was modeled after Rome's, all right? If you look up pictures of Philippi, a lot of it looks, you'll see a lot of ancient Roman architecture, okay? All right, here's your map. And that shows where Philippi is, or was, at that time. And then here's a bigger map that kind of shows, puts a little more emphasis on where it was at. All right. So you have, my pointer's not working, but you have Greece. Obviously, this is all parts of Greece. Then you have Turkey over here. You can see Italy is way over here. All right, Rome. So they were quite a ways from Italy. Okay. But they were still considered a Roman settlement slash civilization, eventually a city.
All right, because of the Roman influence, the city's religious life, it was pretty diverse. Okay, so it says there are monuments, they worship Greek gods, all right? Everybody's heard of Zeus, right? So imagine being there, trying to start up a new church, okay? And you have all these outside religions going on. You have all these idol worshipers. You have, it's not like, it's worse than it, a lot. It's probably a lot, it was a lot worse than it is now. Let's put it that way. There weren't very many Christians there, okay? Even after it was developed, the church was started. All right, so they had this constant battle with the different religious groups in that area. Okay, the locals worshipped the goddess Artemis, while there was also sanctuaries to Egyptian gods. All right, especially Isis and Serapis, and to the great mother goddess. Now, is anybody here hot? Anybody think it's hot? I'm burning up. All right, so I'm about ready to pass it out. All right, there was a small Jewish community there, okay? Normally when Paul would go on his missionary journeys, one of the first places he would go would be a synagogue, okay? There wasn't a synagogue there. There was a small Jewish community, but it says up there that a synagogue required how many men?
10.
10, right? So they didn't have 10, or they probably would have a synagogue. All right, but instead, several women met outside the city on the Sabbath for prayer. Can anybody guess who one of those women were? She's pretty famous. Who?
Lydia.
All right. Good. You are correct. All right. The gospel came to Philippi sometime around 49 to 52 AD. All right. On the second missionary journey, Paul and Silas were kept out by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Johnny is, aren't you still going to talk 16, Acts 16, 16, 20, okay? He's going to hit those on Sunday and next Wednesday, so I'm not going to dig into his class, all right? But they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them, all right? They finally reached the coast at Troas, where Paul had a vision of Macedonians begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us, all right? Right there, it says Paul would normally go first to a synagogue, all right, but there wasn't one. So him and Silas proceeded on down to the river bed, and there were some women down there praying, all right? Some of the women were down there praying on the Sabbath by the river, and they were led by who? You guys already mentioned it. Lydia. All right, Lydia, who can tell me something about Lydia? What was Lydia's occupation?
A dealer of purple cloth.
A dealer of purple cloth, okay.
Which would have meant high royalty.
Okay. Purple cloth during that time, or clothing, or what's another? Linen. Okay. Anything that had that purple dye. Purple dye was very expensive back then, okay? So, Ian, what did you say, Ian?
I said royalty, but it could also just mean high price stuff.
Right. She was involved, purple dye was expensive, so she dealt with, I'll just say high end clothing. We'll just leave it at that. All right. She was probably what's a high end women's store? What's a high-end women's store?
I don't know, maybe I'll use my credit card.
I haven't been to the mall since probably 2004. So, all right. So it wasn't. We'll just say it wasn't. It wasn't stuff that was sold at Target. All right. All right. So she was a dealer of clothing at. dealt with, had a purple dye. All right, so she did well for herself. All right, she welcomed Paul's message, okay? She was baptized with her household, and then they invited them in a group of them to her home where the church began to grow. All right? You want to add anything on that, Johnny, or are you good?
Not right now, I will later.
Sunday, all right. All right, can everybody read that? It's kind of small. All right, so this is the first bullet. It's talking about the Philippian jailer, okay? So, Paul was where when he wrote this letter? He was in prison, right? All right, so think about how, even though he was in prison, okay, and he was facing, you know, possible death. All right. His conditions in prison probably weren't like at a hotel. All right. So think, you know, going back to what I was talking about up here, think about how difficult it would have been to keep his mind, you know, on a positive thought process, right, when he's writing this letter. But do you think him being in jail benefited some people? Okay, you're shaking your head. Jackson, what are you thinking? You're shaking your heads.
I mean, he converted the Philippian jailer and his whole family.
Okay.
Stopped him from killing himself.
Okay, so there's two big things.
He's able to focus on letters to different people to help them in their situations.
Okay, say it one more time.
He's able to focus on sending letters to different people to help them in their situations.
Okay.
It gave other Christians the opportunity to be giving to them and show generosity.
Cheated,
you know? Well, I thought it, and then I was like, generosity. Yeah,
just
kidding.
Good. Good job. Right. All right. What else? So she said it taught them about generosity. All right, being generous. What else? What are some other things you can think of about some of the positive things? If you can say that with him being in prison, that came out.
They let their light shine, or their example shine, whenever. Like they were singing whenever the doors opened, and led to everyone else joining in.
Right, so he demonstrated, right? He demonstrated that, you know, he was letting Christ live in him, right? He was demonstrating that even though he was in that situation, there's still positive things that he could see, right? There's still positive things that he could do. How many of us could do that? I'm not going to raise my hand. I hope I could, but I wouldn't say I wouldn't. I definitely wouldn't say that I could do it, because it would be very, very difficult. All right. Anything else on that? Any other thoughts?
It might be a little off the wall, but it's used as a evidence to us today that of the truth of the gospel, because many people wouldn't risk imprisonment and death for something that they didn't believe was true.
Good. And that's one of them I was looking for. So it gave people this, right? It gave people encouragement. It also demonstrated, Jackson said, it also demonstrated to everybody that don't be afraid to speak about the gospel. Okay? Don't be afraid to spread the gospel. I admit, there's sometimes I'm in situations, I don't take advantage of that, about talking to somebody about the gospel. Why? I don't know. Listen, you may have friends or co-workers, maybe. I guess there's, who in here, there's a couple of us in here that go to work every day. All right, you may have some friends at school that they're good friends or whatever, but you're afraid, you don't have that, maybe that confidence or that encouragement to talk to them about the gospel, all right? So I demonstrated that. Okay? So that was good. I was looking for that one. Alright, so the Church of Philippi provided financial material support several times during Paul's journey. Okay? And he bragged to them about that. Alright? He thanked them numerous times about continuing to support him while he was on these missionary journeys. And then later on in the book, the letter, you'll see that he talks about being content, right? I think that's maybe chapter 4. But he talks about being content, all right? So there's something else that we can learn about and apply. So, but he does. He really developed a relationship with them in Philippi. Right? It was the first church established in Europe. All right. So he had a real closeness with this group. Okay. Anything else? Any comments? Questions? Does anybody care that I'm teaching from behind everybody? Okay. I know it bothers some people, but it's easier than having to stand up there and turn around the whole time. All right. Church Philippi. Okay. They shared partnership with Paul in the gospel. All right. From the very first day. And you see that in chapter 1, right? 3 through 5, he talks about that. He recalls that in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, alright, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except for you only. Alright? So he praises them once again. Alright, for even when I was in Thessalonica, alright, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Alright. So he continues to give them kudos on supporting him over and over and over again. Alright. This letter was a strong evidence, all right, to the deep love between the Apostle Paul and some of his dearest converts. Okay. All right. When you write a letter like that, do you think he got some criticisms? Do you think he got some opposition towards the letter? Yes. That's the answer. Yes. So, some of the oppositions, all right, there are several mentioned in Philippians. He had rival Christian preachers, okay? So, today, you know, Mike is our preacher. Do you think Mike and some of these other preachers have rival Christian preachers today that might try to, make them look bad or... Maybe make them people think they're teaching, you know, they're false teaching. Do you think that goes on today?
It does, yeah.
Yes. As Erfel said, it does. All right. Non-Christians who oppose the gospel. Okay, that doesn't happen, does it?
No, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it happens all the time. It even happens today, right? You have folks that. They don't believe the gospel, okay? And they're going to oppose every single thing that you say about it, no matter whether you open up, even when you open up your Bible, when you're showing them an actual scripture and explaining to them what you're trying to show them, you know, they're still not going to believe it, okay? Because their heart is hardened, right? And they don't want to believe it. Okay. Also, I got a lot of verses up there too, so if anybody wants a copy of this awesome PowerPoint, I will email it to you. Yes.
Something that just came out recently, I think their last survey in America was in either 2018 or 19. For the first time since they've been doing surveys, and that's including all denominational churches and everything in it, there's been less than 50% of Americans now that don't believe in Christ or the true God in the last survey. And I was surprised that it was the first time that it had been under 50%. That's counting. Just believing anything about God pretty well at all.
But you can see in the world we live in today, you know, that, it is surprising, and it's sad that it's below 50%, but at the same time, I mean, but it is surprising, but in some ways it's not surprising, because the world has gotten so corrupt with, you know, what's socially acceptable and what's right in their eyes of everybody that lives in the world that aren't Christians. So, sad. That's a sad statistic. Alright. Women and members at Philippi, okay, they were feuding with each other, okay? And right there in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, okay, there were a couple women that were feuding with each other. Alright. A group who Paul refers to those men as dogs and evildoers, okay, those who mutilate the flesh, alright? So he had some opposition, just like today. He faced opposition way, in my opinion, way more, way worse than I probably ever have, and probably anybody in this room has, when it comes to spreading the gospel. You also have to remember Italy and Rome is basically pretty much what religion is controlled by the who?
Catholic,
right? It's primarily, predominantly Catholic. Okay, so something I was thinking about too is some of our gospel preachers that are in Italy, like Roberto Tondelli and some of those. Okay, so they probably have to face some of these same issues that Paul faced because of the control of the Catholic Church. All right, I'm about to speed up here. All right, occasions and Paul's immediate concerns in writing the letter were to recommend to the Philippians. All right, who was Epaphroditus? Does anybody remember the role that Epaphroditus played? Anybody in the back row? No.
Did he send the letters?
Yeah, and he would send the letters, and then they would Don't quote me on this, but I think he was the one that would help transfer the money.
He was the one that come to him and become ill. It's not clear whether he got real bad sick on the way going to Paul or whether he got real bad sick when he was there, because he had to kind of defend him in the letter, if I'm right, because of him coming back so quickly because of his illness. It said he didn't come close to death.
So he was letting them know that he was ill, like Johnny said, and he was being sent home. All right. He also wanted to let them know about his current status of being in prison. All right. And he wanted to encourage the Philippian believers to quiet their disagreements and be united. Okay. So he wanted them basically just, you guys need to stop feuding and start getting along. So throughout the letter, all right, we talked about this Sunday. He inspires, he provides a lot of inspiration and encouragement. Okay, Paul, they considered him a friend, all right, a mentor, a fellow believer. Okay, who finds Christ's strength and his peace while struggling with all these oppositions. Okay, and to show how a man, an apostle, how he would meet all these obstacles and deal with them, all right? Okay, and then I put on the end that this letter is very relevant even for us today. All right, some themes in this letter. Paul developed several themes: joy and fellowship, okay, among others. Rejoice. I don't remember who said it, but someone said it on Sunday that it was a word that was repeated quite often. So, you know, he talks about rejoicing, right? Sometimes we act like Christianity is a sorrowful religion, right? You never can smile, you can't laugh, you have to be serious all the time. Alright? Now, you need to do what God says and live the way God wants you to live, but that doesn't mean you have to be depressed and always down in the dumps, alright? It's not. Okay? It's a religion of joy and love. Joy and rejoicing are key and frequent words in Philippians. If you don't believe that the first bullet is necessarily 100% true, ask somebody that's older. Not me, because I'm not going to tell you my stories, but ask some people that weren't always living the way they were supposed to live, okay? And they thought they were having fun, all right? But ask them once they straighten their life out, got things going in the right direction, how much more rejoiceful and joy that their life became, joyful their life became, right? So there's a lot of linear proof of that, okay? Let's see if I can read this. All right, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, okay? The important thing, these are some verses up here that have the words joy and rejoice. Let's see. All right, convinced of this, I know that I'll remain and I will continue with all of you of your progress and joy in the faith. All right, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. All right. Make my joy complete by being like-minded. All right, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Exactly how we should be. All right, here's a couple more verses. I'm having to kind of speed up here to get through these. I want to make sure I'm done. But if you want a copy, let me know. I'll email it to you. All right, here's some more verses here that talk about rejoicing and joy. All right. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. All right, talks about fellowship. Okay, having fellowship among one another. All right, I always pray with joy, which I forgot to highlight it, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Okay, there again, he's talking about his closeness with the brethren there in Philippi. All right, all of you share in God's grace with me. Okay. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. All right. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Okay. Why do you think he put that in the letter? You guys are quiet.
Shows you're not meant to go through this life alone.
There you go. Perfect.
Besides, have somebody else help you carry that burden.
Right. And he did. He shared his troubles with them, his oppositions he got, his cares, his concerns, you know, what he was dealing with, what he was facing in prison. All right. So he thanked them for that. Okay. And then again, he talks about how they shared so generously with him, okay, during his missionary journeys. All right. Breakdown of the letter. Okay, chapter 1. Chapter 1 is basically, it's a chapter of testimony. Paul's testifying about the Philippian church and what his relationship with them is like. Okay, so a lot of, in chapter 1, he's talking about how much they supported him. He's talking about his relationship with them. He's thanking them for their support. He's building that relationship and showing how strong his feelings are for the group that worships there in Philippi. Alright, breakdown of the letter. Chapters 2 and 3. Alright, Paul uses some examples of what the right heart and attitude is or should be. Okay. Chapter 2, he talks about Jesus as the example. Okay? Epaphroditus is the example. Alright? And then Timothy is the example. Chapter 3, he turns his attention on himself. All right. And he tells them, he says, look what all I've accomplished in my life, but then how I consider it and how I count it. Okay? So he starts looking at the things that he's done, and he starts focusing more on the kind of different things that he's accomplished, and then trying to show them and make that link with them to where they can see the benefit of what basically he's writing to them about. Okay. Alright, the last bullet. Here's a part of the key to understanding how to live this part of life. I don't really know why I put that in there. I don't remember. Somebody help me out.
Is that where it talks about forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward?
There you go. Thank you. Alright, so, say that one more time. Please.
Forgetting what lies ahead, one thing I do is press forward to the call of the gospel of Christ.
Very good. Good. Thank you very, very much. I knew I put that in there somewhere.
Like that. Perfectly recited.
Hey, something like that.
She did a lot better. She did a lot better than I did, because I forgot why I put it up there. So, thank you, Mary. He's showing, you know, we can't always focus on what we've done in the past. Okay, we need to learn from those mistakes. We need to learn from those hurdles. Okay, and we always need to look forward and try to gain from our past and try to do what's right and live better. All right, and then chapter 4 is filled with encouragements, reassurances, and inspirations. Okay, so that's where he's encouraging them to stay strong in the faith, live like Christ, live like Christ is in you. Okay, he's reassuring them that everything's going to be okay. Look at me, I'm in prison, possibly facing death, but I'm still okay. All right. And he inspires them. Okay. So I got through it. All right. So that's basically the overview. A quick down and dirty of Philippians. So Johnny is going to, I guess you can tell them what you're going to talk about Sunday and Wednesday.
I'm basically just going to enter on the book of Acts 16 and kind of link it to the letter that wrote the Philippians, and then open a few comments on the first couple of three verses between Sunday's lesson and Wednesday's lesson, which I think pretty well take up the majority of my time when I go to cover those. And I might say this, because most of you are college students or went to college, you can already see in Jason his military way of directing his statements. And you, even though it's been years, you'll get that from myself. We don't teach like the professors do. At Western, we get sometimes a little more direct to the subject, so bear with us, but it's a big, a really good study, I feel firmly on.
That's why I'm not a professor. That's why I don't teach any more in the reserves.
So
that being said, Johnny brings up a good point, and I mentioned this on Sunday, right? Feel free to speak up, okay? I also admitted I don't have all the answers, okay? I feel like that's okay for me to admit, because does anybody in here have all the answers? No, so I'm good. So, but
You may, I one of the reasons I wanted to teach this class, was because I wanted to learn from you guys too. So I always, when I did teach in the reserves, it helped me to learn to teach because I learned a lot from students. So with that being said, who's ever heard of there's no dumb, never a dumb question? Everybody? Mm-hmm. Guess who asked a bunch of dumb questions? Right? And I always tell people that, hey, if you can make it as far as I did, as I have, you can ask dumb questions. Okay, because my dumb question and what I don't know, he might not know it either. Right? You may be thinking the same thing, but you just don't want to ask it. So ask. Don't be afraid to ask a question, okay? If I don't know, I'm gonna tell you I don't know. Does anybody else know? Alright? If not, if none of us know, you know, we have anybody here younger than you're 20? Anybody younger than 20? Earth was 90. So we got 70 years in between. That's a lot of knowledge, right? And then we got Johnny in here. Johnny's 43. Okay, so we've got, you know, I'm 31. You know, we got a lot of knowledge in here, all right? Just like tonight, I got tongue-tied. I couldn't remember why I put that up, and Mary still couldn't tell. So that's a good example. So just, you guys teach us just like we want to teach you, okay? I think it's going to be a pretty good class. We'll dive into the verses, kind of break them down. And then, like I said, we'll be working on the book, too. So go ahead and work on the first. Just go ahead and start working on the first lesson, all right? And then we'll refer to that some, too. We may say, hey, go to lesson one and look at question number 12 or whatever, and we'll talk about that. So really, that's all I have.
I did just say this. Jason and I both are sergeant. We work for a living. Ertel was an officer, and he's here to keep us straight. Yeah. So that's why Ertel's in here.
Yeah. Ertel squares us away when you guys leave. So, since I forgot to open with the prayer, let's close with a prayer.
I can do that. Dear Lord, our Father who art in heaven, thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much for this opportunity and this time to come together and learn and worship your word. And we ask you, dear Lord, that as we look into your book and we learn new things every day, but we ask you, dear Lord, that you would help us implement it into our daily lives, where most of us fall. And we just pray, dear Lord, that we can always find the good in whatever we do, no matter if it's at work or we're at school or we're at a family function or here at church. We may always bring out the best in one another. We ask you, dear Father, at this time that you forgive us for our many sins as we have fallen short of your word from time to time. And please just allow us to live in heaven with you for eternal life. As in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Could I say one thing?
Yes.
Your class tonight has been an inspiration to me. You dwelled a lot somewhere on the joy, love, as opposed to fun and happy. Fun and happy is for me, is a temporary happening thought. It's mainly from my mind, but it just comes and goes. But when I do joyful things, loving things, kind things, then they stay with me and I grow. So it's classes like the one you just taught that I think makes me grow. And then when I'm driving, then these thoughts come back to me. You know, this is what Jason said. That inspired me tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Earl. I'm going to cry. Thanks. That means a lot. And I'll say this too. I hope when I'm 90 years old that I'm sitting in the class and driving myself to church. And Earthel can read the slides. Don't let it fool you. But all right, that's all I got. I don't know if somebody's going to ring the bell or not.
I don't think so.
No, there wasn't anybody.
We
got some more. Any questions, concerns, suggestions?
Concerns.
Hey, as we're going through this class, too, if there's something that you want us to talk about or something we could do different, within reason, all right, I'm not bringing coffee and cookies and all. But if you have a suggestion on how we can make the class maybe a little better,
just let me know. All right, say, hey, quit talking so much and let us talk some. Okay. I'd love that. So make those suggestions.